Welcome back, everyone. This is Jovan coming at you with episode 6 of The Secret Podcast. Shh. Okay, so with me I have guest number 7, if you would like to say hello.
Hello.
Before I begin, I should mention to the audience that I've changed some of the questions around. I've been noticing certain answers are always the same or it's too predictable, stuff like that, so I've moved some things around, and you may notice that. There's like a new interview question slot template that I got going on. Anyway, so let's just jump right into it with the first question. What is your profession?
I am an executive assistant.
Very nice. Yes. At an unknown
to a location. CEO at a group of city hospitals.
Very nice. So working at a hospital, obviously you're not working the front line as, you know, ER nurses or doctors or anything like that, but what, in your opinion, would be the easiest and the hardest part of your job that you've noticed over the years?
Okay.
Like, to start with, what would be the easiest part of your job?
The easiest part of my job is... I think just working with people in general, like, because I like to be around other people. And so it's very easy to work with a group of high functioning professionals that are professional. So it's really easy to interact with those people.
Yeah.
And then that also is the hardest part of my job as well.
Okay. So it's the exact same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Is because I like to be around people and be with people, and that's important for me, but it can be very stressful and you have to manage different personalities and different needs and people's urgent situations. So it can be difficult as well being with those people. So yeah. That can be a hard part of my job as well.
So with the whole, it can be easy, but also hard aspect, what would you say has been so far the scariest or most dramatic moment of working there?
Well, it's not really got anything to do with, frontline health work, because I don't do that. I'm in the administrative offices and the running of the hospital and the financial component. Scary things for me would be missing a deadline for a very important funding letter that was going to be a lot of money, or not completing a component of it so that I didn't get it in time. So my kind of scary moments are more just sort of boring, mundane, administrative things.
Which a lot of people could probably relate to. So it's like, even though you work at a hospital,
sending an email
it's the office
to the entire organization of 2,000 people and sending the one that was before the last edit.
The first draft.
That would be a very scary moment. So those are the kinds of scary moments for me, not like the healthcare workers that deal with life and death. So every time I have a scary moment, my backup is always, nobody died.
At least.
Nobody died. Yeah. This was just an error. Move on.
But still, it's all about perspective. So it is good that you can see that perspective.
Yeah.
But obviously for a lot of other people, if they just work in office jobs, it's like, for them, it is life or death if something like that happens, where they screw up like a huge sort of, you know, whether draft or financial aspect of it.
Yeah. Worst I can do is lose my job. I can't kill anybody. I can't use the wrong medication.
Yeah.
So it's all good.
Not bad. Yeah. Okay. So that's great. So at least you got that going for you. You got a good perspective. So following up all of these work-related questions, to finish it off, are you a working person at heart? Would you say, or do you really like the downtime as well?
When I'm at my work, I enjoy it. I have no problem getting up every morning and going to work. I don't want to go to work. I enjoy being at work. But when I'm on holidays or on the weekends and vacations, I love those too. So
yeah, you're not thinking about work.
When I'm at work, I'm enjoying it. I'm not dreading it, but I often think when I'm off work, oh, I'd like to not work. Or if I won the lotto, I probably wouldn't work.
You would enjoy that aspect, yeah.
So I don't know. I guess
you wouldn't know until you won the
lottery. Person at heart. I'm just the kind of person that whatever I'm doing at the moment, I'll just put my best foot forward and go with the flow, whatever that is. Yeah. So if I'm working, I'm working. If I'm relaxing, I'm relaxing.
Yeah. But so like, would you come up with projects for yourself if you were to have a whole week off, or would you just
write? Oh yeah, definitely. Time? Like, you know, oh, I can think of a million things that I would actually do and enjoy if I didn't have to work 60 hours a week.
Yeah, because I guess that would be the ultimate difference between certain people. It's like, if you didn't win the lotto, and so now you don't have to work, would that start to get to you not doing anything?
Oh, no, I'd have to always be doing. I'm going to learn to speak French, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's true.
I'm going to get back to my sewing and, you know, so there's all kinds of things that
you can do as a passion-based thing.
Yeah, that I just don't have time for now.
Yeah, true. Yeah, so it's kind of, it's a perfect blend. It's a half and half. It's like you would have things to do without work, but you would still probably work the same amount as you currently do. Just, so you're not going to add on to it.
And do it when I want to.
Yeah, so it's great.
Can't wait.
So, is it safe to say that your relationship status is obvious and would be easy to present? Like, you're married with kids?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine to say. Married it's not like, kids. you're not Ms.
Yeah, I'm married with kids.
So with that aspect in mind, what would you say is the greatest joy of first being married? What do you think? Because instead of saying what's the hardest part, because it's like anybody could dig in the negatives, but what is the greatest part about being married?
Because you have a partner, obvious things. I think you have a partner to do things with, to share things with, and share all the aspects of your adult life with, your money, your children, your fun time. Like, so you just have a partner, you have somebody to share your life with. I think that's probably the best part of being married.
And then what would you say is the greatest joy of being a parent?
Oh, I just can't name them all.
There's too many. There's no negatives. There's only positives.
Oh, yeah, I just love of my life. So yes, of course it's challenging and there are moments, but you know, all in all, yeah, your kids, most people feel the same way I do. I'm absolutely sure that your kids are the greatest part of your life for sure. Yeah. You just want to see them happy in whatever, however that manifests itself. Yeah, I don't care.
The greatest joy is seeing them.
However it manifests itself. I don't have any preconceived paths. Just
you're not going to force them to learn piano.
No. No one of those parents. I would have liked to have had them learn piano,
but that's good. That's great. So on to the next question, which is semi-related, but now towards you. What was your childhood like?
Oh, great. I had a great childhood, too. Loving mother, loving father, sister. Great place to grow up. Fabulous place to grow up.
And that, it's not St. John's?
St. John's. It is. Yeah. East Coast, you know, if I'd had my druthers, we would never have left there, but so best, great friends, good school friends. Nope. It was just a great, great childhood.
Thanks. Yeah.
Set me up.
Set you up to be who you are. Would you say that you're similar to your parents or do you do different methods?
Similar in the values, morals, ethics, like, you know, your basic,
teach them race, to be a good person.
Certain way, different in
the times, I guess.
And I'm a different person than my mother and a different person than my father, so I have a different perspective on things, but the base is my mom and dad.
Awesome. And then what do you say would be your most formative years? Would it be in childhood? Would it be in college? When what would you say is your most formative? Or are there too many?
Probably university.
Yeah.
Because I lived in a smaller city and, you know, when I went away to university, it was 4 hours away. And so you were there a long time and you didn't have cell phones and you didn't have all those things that connected you to your parents back home or your friends that had gone to different universities. So, you know, there was the one phone on the floor that you lived in, and you had to take turns and put quarters into it, and long distance charges applied. So you really just kind of left your home and went to university, and you really were kind of on your own in a sense. Of course, your parents still sent you care packages and money and all that stuff. But yeah, so probably university, because that was the first time that you had to problem solve and you couldn't call your parents to help you problem solve. You just had to figure it out, and responsibilities of school and how hard it was, and you know, feeding yourself, that's the whole thing. So
it was, it's basically like
kind of
forcing
went
you
from
to
a kid with no worries to graduated as a young adult with some life experience.
Yeah, that's right. And because a lot of people don't have that nowadays, right?
I mean, no, it's very different. Even if you do go away, you're just a text or a call away from your parents, and you can do that. You know, I called my parents every Sunday. We talked for 20 minutes, and I didn't talk to them again until the next Sunday. So when things came up in between,
you just have to write it down or something.
Yeah, you just had to figure it out.
Yeah. Very nice. Yes, that's great. So now shifting subjects, do you enjoy art, and what kinds of art?
I do enjoy art. I like all kinds of art.
Like still art, paintings,
like
drawings, sculptures.
Watercolors, acrylics, oils. I like modern, Renaissance. Yeah.
Okay.
I
just
love going through an art gallery and seeing, you know, real life, still life.
Yeah.
Maybe not as keen, perhaps, on like the Pollock type, you know, art where it's, but I still will happily go and look at it and think about what possibly could that have
meant.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can still appreciate it.
Yep. Yeah. And I've gone to some really good art galleries over the years.
Yeah. That's great. And, but what would you say is your favorite type of art? Would it be music, movies?
Oh, like
still
art in general? I thought,
The entire subject. What would you put it at the top? Or that you enjoy
probably writing, like, so
literature.
Yeah, probably.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So from there, and there's another big shift in the subject, how are you with violence? Would you find it entertaining, like MMA or like big action movies? There's guns.
Well, I think I have a tolerance for it when I'm watching it on TV.
You know it's not real.
Yeah, that's
but,
right.
But MMA is real. Would you find that entertaining?
No, I don't go in for that. I can appreciate the athleticism of, is that mixed martial arts? So, like, for instance, I can see appreciate the athleticism of that as opposed to boxing. Because that just seems to be straight up punching everybody
just
in the
knocking
the
stuff
head.
Out.
But that MMA, you have to be fast, agile, quick.
There's
like
tons of
aspects.
And tons of rules of what you're not allowed doing. So it's like,
would I ever go to a fight? No way. No, it's not. So that kind of stuff doesn't interest me. But I probably have a greater tolerance maybe than some for action movies and violence movies. And that probably comes from my son, who plays a lot of movies that we watch a ton of movies with him. And he likes a lot of those things. And so just to be part of his interests, I will watch them. And I find myself enjoying them. Now, there are some that I went, no.
Where it's too much.
Quentin Tarantino, what's that one? Reservoir Dogs? Spawn. Satan.
What?
That one really bothered me.
You mean a movie called Spawn of Satan?
No, I said that's like Quentin Tarantino was for making that movie.
Yeah. You know what? I don't know how known this is, but I'm pretty sure Reservoir Dogs was basically a rip off of either a Japanese, Chinese, or Korean movie.
Probably.
I think Korean. And he was a big fan of Asian films, and he would watch them. And there was one where it's the exact same scenario, where these guys in suits running around, they're hitmen or whatever, and they're friends, and then this thing happens, and they don't know who to trust or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's the exact same plot, and he just took it without giving them any credit or letting them know. So he just stole the idea. And then that was the movie that made him famous. So since then, he made his own movies that are his. But it's like,
I don't like things where there's like torture and then they force you to watch
and
the
super
intricacies of that.
Of the torture,
like, no.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, violence and you're watching a gunfight, okay.
Yeah.
But like when they go to that level, it's like, oh.
Well, yeah. For me, I do have a point where it stops being enjoyable, yeah. But I would say, like, Pulp Fiction specifically, that scene where Bruce Willis and Marcellus Wallace, I should know Bruce Willis's name, but just, you know, his character, and Marcellus Wallace, they both get taken by a thrift shop owner, and they're tied up in the basement, and they're like, wake up the gimp. And it's like this guy in a black leather suit who's clearly like a sex doll or something, and then they tie him up, and he's like, which one are we going to meddle with first? And you're watching that, and the whole, I saw that for the first time, I think, when I was 18, so it's like, I was obviously old enough. But I had no idea that was happening because I didn't hear anything about the movie beforehand. I just knew it existed. And I was so tense the whole time. I was terrified. It was awful. And it's like maybe because I'm like, you know, I could see myself.
Tense during that scene or something. Yeah. That was awful. But it had a good line afterwards, the Marcellus.
Yeah, where he's like, I'm going to get some hard cracking.
Yeah, Bruce Willis says, are you, you know, when they finally get out or whatever, he goes, are you okay? And he's
okay?
Like,
yeah.
pretty far away from okay.
Yeah.
And he said next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
So, I mean, I guess what Quentin Tarantino does is he shocks you and mortifies you. And then he does something that takes the edge off with that
tension off with a little bit of comedy.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a crazy movie.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. Do you believe in destiny? Is that one of those subjects that you either haven't thought a lot about or you think probably it's either that or everything's random? Would you try?
No, like maybe destiny. Like I don't think everything's random. I like believe in karma. So if you believe in karma, that's not, it's not
then
random.
There's intent.
There is, you know, because I strongly do believe in that. And,
yeah.
And I do think that you move in a certain direction and opportunities come up that you take that move you toward that. So I do believe in destiny, but I think you play a part in it too.
You still have choice. So it's a half and half.
Yeah.
Where there is a path set for you, but
yeah,
you still
but
have
you have to take those opportunities that
so
come along.
You can choose to just
to
not
fulfill
do it.
Your destiny or else.
Okay.
You don't, you know, but then there's all kinds of outlying reasons why you might not do that. There could be mental health issues. There could be something going on in your life at the time that you can't take that opportunity. So, yeah.
Yeah, and then tons of things too, like environmental disasters. You have no choice
over. There's so many things, but maybe so destiny to me sounds a little too set. And I think you have more choice over
your
life than just this one path that's set for you.
Yeah. But you say there is a path, but it's up to you to follow it or not.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think you have more control over your destiny than destiny has over you, for sure.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's good. On to the next question. What is your take on Canadian history? Would you consider yourself much of a history buff, or that you at least know Canadian history, like how it began and all that?
I wish I knew more about Canadian history. I am definitely a history buff because I'm a history major.
Oh, you are? What? Did I know this?
I'm definitely a history buff. I love history. That Canadian history wasn't something I took at school. It's something I picked up on my own.
Yeah, so then what history did you take? Was it British history or?
I took way back when I graduated, my two areas were the American Revolution and World War II.
Oh, okay.
So to this day, those I do enjoy those. Like, I love period pieces and stuff. But as far as Canadian history, and as you get older, I think you, just like with everything, you become more, you want to know more about your past, your country's past. And,
I
do like the Canadian history, and I think, you know, we're finally taking accountability for those things that we misstepped along the way. So good.
Yeah.
It's good that we're being open about
we're acknowledging
that. Yes,
happens,
and acknowledging what did happen.
Because for me, it's like when you take history, because it is a required subject when you're young, It's for elementary school, I think, just grade 6, 7, 8, and then grade 9, or just grade 10, but you only take it once in high school for one semester.
Yeah.
And I was taught European history. It's like history, they just say history. This is the only history, basically, yeah. Right? But it's from the...
pretty broad subject.
Yeah, and they're not even, like, Canadian history, but from the perspective of the British. Not even the French, or, like, obviously the African slaves, or the Native Americans. It's, like, just that one viewpoint.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, because I was raised in a Catholic high school, so that comes from the British church, right?
Yeah, it's interesting.
The queen of the church, so it's like...
I wonder how they're doing, if they're
like nowadays,
shaking it up a bit more.
Yeah, if they're adding Native history to it or not, but yeah, I just thought, you know, I think of that as a curiosity, because it's like, it is being talked about way more. I don't know if it's thanks to social media, or if it's just a product of the time or something, but it is being talked about more.
Yeah, it is.
Like there's sites in Toronto that say this used to be an Ojibwe nation or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that's becoming more modern.
Well, when I went to university ages and ages ago, there was only one course in Canadian history in the whole history program.
Yeah.
There was only one.
From the 1600s to the...
Yeah, and it kind of did, like, it started with the French explorers and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, covered off the War of 1812, all that kind of business, but it couldn't do it justice. It might have only been a half semester, too, like, so, yeah, it was very limited.
Yeah. What are you going to do? It's one of those subjects, right, where it's like, math and English are the most important, so then everything else takes a backseat. Yeah.
Except for I always liked history, like, right from the start. I always liked it, and I say I like history because maybe I'm kind of nosy.
I'm kind of
a nosy person. I like to know what's going on.
Yeah.
And so history is like, what's going on
over there?
Who is that guy? I need to know a little bit more about him. What is going on with that guy? So I always felt that way about history. So it was always really interesting to me because it was always just, that's interesting. Oh, that guy had an interesting life. And so it was always, that always interested me.
The interest of what's going on.
I needed to know what was going on and what happened.
That's good. That's a good curiosity. Rather than being like a nosy neighbor, you're just a nosy historian.
Yeah, I think that's why I like history, because it was all just a big story.
Yeah, you get to, see what's going on in people's lives. Yeah, that's good. So for the next question, if you could meet one person in fiction or history, who would it be?
Oh.
And when I say history, it doesn't have to be far history. It could be Michael Jackson, because he's passed, right? Like, just anyone who you couldn't meet now. Like, is there anyone that comes to mind?
Hmm. You know, I don't know if I won't say one person, because I can't think of it, but it would be great to have talked to a woman living back in, like, the 20s, right when they were about to get the vote.
Oh, yeah, right.
And it was such an important moment, because finally, at that point, women were recognized as people.
Human beings.
People
beside man, not just
having thoughts that counted.
Yeah.
And so that would have probably been amazing to speak to women back then when they finally got the vote. Because that took them from
all they ever known their whole lives, was just that they're lesser.
Like they just anything they thought was never given any kind of validation in society, like, because whatever they were thinking wasn't important enough to affect change.
Yeah.
And when you vote, your thoughts and what you think and your voice is important enough to affect change on a big level. And I think that whole thing really started back then when women got the vote, that finally they started to move into more male-dominated careers, and plus when the war came, and so they were getting into more male-dominated. So I think that probably is an important point of history for women, and it would have been great to talk to women back then just to see what they were thinking.
Yeah, just to see what life was like.
Because, rather than one person, I'll just say that.
Yeah. So just any one of the people who were advocating for that, like, rather than meeting a woman who was against that, right? Because that'd be crazy.
Well, even that would have been interesting. Right?
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be my the way I feel. I think it would be great just to talk to somebody to get their perspective, right? Like, because I don't have to just talk to people that agree with me. I like to talk to people that are
have the exact opposite.
Opinions too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that would have been good.
Very nice. So from there, I will now jump into some lighter questions. What is your favorite movie or franchise?
Favorite movie? Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind?
Yes.
I thought it'd be Tom Cruise related.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, I like Gone with the Wind. That was the first movie. I like that movie because it has a lot of memories for me. So that was sort of like the first epic movie I watched when I was younger. And it's like, it's history, right? I guess that's probably why I liked it so much. It was all about a certain time. I just love that movie. I read the book. I saw the movie probably 10 times. So, yeah. I mean, it's corny as heck now when you watch it. But it's still
that.
Love that movie.
And what? So remind me of what that movie is again. Is that the black and white one? Because I don't know if I've seen it.
No, it was done in color, but you know,
it was back in the 70s.
Yeah, this is back in the 30s.
Oh, so it was super old for you.
Yeah, it was an old movie. But it was Gone with the Wind's about the beginning of the American Revolution.
Oh, okay.
Civil War. Not the American Revolution, I'm sorry. It was the beginning of the Civil War. So it was the South. In the North, so it all started with her on a plantation, and they had slaves and her family, and she was very privileged. And then the Civil War started, where the North came in, and then all her friends were dying, and they thought they were going to go off to war and be done in a week, and then it got very awful. But then there's just the whole love story, like, woven in, and then the famous line, "Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn."
Oh, I thought that was from, like, Pride and Prejudice.
And that was scandalous at the time that he said that word.
Because it's so rude, and he's swearing,
Damn, like, it's so Rhett. Yeah, it was Rhett Butler.
Wow. So is that kind of a sad ending, or what? Or was it supposed to be melancholic?
It didn't wrap itself up with a bow, like most movies. Like
nowadays.
But it was so complex. That movie went through so many ups and downs. It was so complex. Yeah. So the very end of it really wasn't happy for her.
Yeah. But the whole story was an epic. You know?
Yeah, it was epic. It was epic. It was an epic show, yeah. This God is my witness, I will never go hungry again. There were a lot of good one-liners in that movie.
Yeah, I feel like back in the day there were a lot of good one-liners. Like, because everything was so much more original back then, right? Yeah. Like, so many things hadn't been tapped into yet.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, it was a good movie. You have to watch it with Samantha. She probably won't watch it.
Yeah. I got to hit that up. Yeah, you know, she might not want to watch it, but just in general, I got to watch it. Yeah, it's one of those things. There's so many movies back in the day that I haven't seen that I need to see. Like, I've tapped into almost all of Stanley Kubrick's films. So obviously that was before my time.
Yeah.
But I haven't hit any of his earlier work, like Dr. Terrible and How He Learned to Love the Bomb, or whatever that one was.
I'm not into his stuff, so I don't
know. Before then. Okay. Yeah, but he's... Yeah. So, yeah, there's tons of films that I got to see, so that's definitely one of them. So on to the next question. What is your favorite song or artist?
Favorite song is Elton John, Your Song.
Your Song?
Yeah.
Nice. I'm trying to think, because for my mom, her favorite song was Elton John, too. I don't think it was that one. And then with my first guest, it was same thing, Elton John.
Oh, really?
Tiny Dancer, I think.
Yeah, got so many.
It's great. Yeah. He's really crushing it as far as favorite songs for this podcast. Yeah. Oh, my guests are loving him. It's great. So next question, would you risk going on an adventure?
Of course I would.
You would? Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Gosh. Bring it on.
Bring it on. Nice. With the risk involved too. Like,
it'd have to be, have to be a risk I was comfortable with.
So not life and death, probably.
No.
But if it wasn't
people
that.
Relying on me, I can't be doing that. That'd be too selfish.
Yeah, but if it wasn't life risking, and it was like someone found a map to the road to El Dorado.
Yeah, I want to go on an adventure.
Great, that's great. You're probably one of the only people who's actually answered yes to that. So many other people say no, like they're so risk averse. Because they're scared. They're like, I can't leave my life.
Oh, well, I mean, like, I'd have to be comfortable with the risk.
You'd have to be able to come back.
But, yeah, I want to go on an adventure, do new stuff.
That's great.
Oh, yeah.
And me too. So, whereas far in this entire podcast, I think you and me were the first to say yes to that. Yeah. But my last guest, we had gone on so many tangents in our conversation that I think I only asked him like three of these questions. So maybe I haven't asked him that question yet. Yeah, so maybe he'll say yes too. No, it's great. Hey, we're almost half an hour in and the personal questions are almost done. And that's the point. The personal questions are half of the podcast. So far, this is great. Like, you know, we're crushing it. So next question. What's on your bucket list?
Oh.
You want to go skydiving?
To travel North America. all over every single little town.
I mean, you've already kind of started.
Yeah.
A little bit.
In our camper, in our RV. So that's my biggest driving, working toward thing.
Yeah. Before you go.
That. Yeah. Yeah. And just seeing the desert and the mountains and the Pacific and the Atlantic and the Badlands and the prairies. I want to just
Alaska
really
too.
Like Alaska.
You hit it all, yeah.
Yep. I want to see it. And then rural cities. Like, you just want to see the whole continent.
Yeah. I'm curious to go to Josephburg because there's a place called Josephburg. And my name is Joseph. It's like an hour away from Edmonton or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So next time I'm in Edmonton,
I'll have to go.
It's my name. I have to. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, literally, just take a selfie with a sign. Yeah, it's great. So now we're on to the opinion portion of the podcast.
Boy. Yeah.
So this one, you can say pass. You can say I got no opinion.
Okay. Yeah.
But a lot of these, I'm sure, are going to be really easy to answer. So let's find out. What is your opinion on guns?
You don't like them.
You don't like them? Would you, if you had the option, would you abolish them? Would you vote towards that?
Of course.
You would, for sure.
Yeah, just, no guns, bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, guns.
Do you acknowledge them as being important in history, or do you think they never served a great purpose? Like, we could have kept using bows and arrows. We didn't have to go to guns.
Yeah.
If technology, for whatever reason, didn't go there, would you find that completely fine? Or do you think we'd live in a weirdly different world now?
I guess that's a good question. I guess if we'd never had guns, wouldn't that be nice? There's still ways to
Wage wars without them.
Kill.
Dominate. Well, whatever country.
For meat eaters to eat. So
that's true, yeah.
But if we'd never ever invented the gun, it would be a happy place. So let's just never have the gun, the bullet and the gun ever invented.
Yeah.
That sounds good to me.
That's good. So next one, what is your opinion on abortion? Hot topic? Pro-life, pro-choice?
I'm pro-life.
Pro-life? All the way across?
No, wait.
Or do you think
they're
variable?
I got that wrong. I'm pro-choice.
Pro-life of the girl who's pregnant.
Yeah, no, I totally got it wrong. No, I'm 100% for the woman's right to choose.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. So if that means she has to have an abortion, then I'm 100% for that.
Yeah. Because one thing I wonder for the people who are hard pro-lifers, which I have had on the podcast, and I don't know if I would ask it this specifically, but I do ask them things like, what if the woman was raped? Like, there's so many scenarios where it's the morally right thing. And plus, a lot of people, when they hear abortion, they think like, murdering a fetus baby. Mm-hmm. Your doctors are only allowed doing it when it's a ball of cells.
Yeah.
Like, it is not a human, not even close to a human.
It's not my choice to tell anybody
whether
what
or not
to
they
do
were right.
with their body and what their choices. That's not my place or my purpose in leading my life. So I'm 100% make your own decision. So
yeah, because otherwise, if you're pro-life, you gotta
pro-choice.
Yeah. And I always think, if you're pro-life and you're not going to allow a 16-year-old to have the choice to have an abortion or not, then why don't you take care of the baby? Right? Like, you know, you clearly don't care about the girl. You just care about the baby. So you take care of it if you're
I can't believe in my mind. Like, I have a hard time believing that people frivolously make the choice to do that. I think it is a really hard, tough decision based on many things.
And plus, it's still totally...
It's not a form of birth control, I don't believe.
Yeah. And plus, I mean, society does not accept abortions. In all of society, it's still like, you don't go all willy nilly to the abortion clinic, get the abortion, walk out
really
going, hey, it's like everyone feels ashamed for it. It's super embarrassing and traumatic. Nobody likes doing
it.
And it's a tragedy. Even people who are pro-choice, it's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry you had to go through that. Like, it is a terrible thing.
Yeah, no, that's
nobody does it easy.
Even if you make that decision, you then have to live with it the rest of your life. It's not easy.
Yeah.
But you should have the right to make that decision.
Yeah. In America, they do not. In most states, it's not going too good over there.
No.
On to the next opinion. What is your opinion on tattoos? Obviously, I don't think you have any.
I'll never get a tattoo.
Yeah.
But if you want a tattoo, you go right ahead. that and get a tattoo. And I've seen lots of really great, beautiful tattoos. People seeing that get tattoos are really happy with them. So
yeah, they don't seem like unstable. There's tons of completely normal people.
They really love them and they love showing them off, or they do them for other reasons and sort of keep them hidden from themselves. I think that's good. You do what you want. Tattoos don't hurt anybody.
That's true. That's great.
So go for it.
So next one. What is your opinion on marriage?
Yeah, I think people should get married.
Yeah. Well, like, do you think it's sacred, or it's like, how do you feel in today's day and age?
I think it's still a good, valid institution that purposeful in society. I think it's really good for kids or for families. I think that's how it started. And, you know, so I think that's the societal norm. So I think, still get married if you want to get married. But equally, and this is going to be a theme for me, I am going to be on the fence about everything. But I equally could see the other side and say, you know what, if you don't want to get married, that's absolutely 100% great too.
Yeah.
I think sometimes people that get married and either get divorced or lose their partner or whatever, and they're at a point in their life where they've had their families and they meet somebody special, I don't really see any reason why you need to get married unless you need to formalize it for some financial reason. Like I don't think you need to get married just to say, oh, you know, we're married. I think, so I think it's just it's becoming a choice for people. I know lots of people that aren't married and have kids, and they've
just come.
I know one of my friends, they never married. They had two kids, and the kids took her last name, and they've been together for 40 years.
Wow. And so it's clearly a lesson.
You don't have to get married, but if you want to get, I think it's more of a tax break and makes it easier to go to the bank and all that kind of stuff.
And you can officially put on Mrs.
Rather than Mrs. Also, I think it's also very, very important to a lot of people.
Because of religious reasons.
And,
Oh, yeah. And for commitment.
So
yeah.
The commitment and all that. So I think all those reasons are good. But also, if you don't want to get married, that's fine too.
Yeah.
I don't
care. Which is fine. That's right. Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, for me, I'm the exact same way. Like, for me personally, it's like I was raised in, you know, neighborhood or entire environment or whatever of people getting married. And so I don't know anybody who does common law, but I'm totally for it as well.
Yeah.
And then, it's like I see myself getting married in the future. So it's like if that never happens, I'm not going to be devastated, but it's, it is what it is. It's
but when you say you see yourself getting married in the future, you're probably just imagining.
I mean a life partner.
Somebody,
Yeah. Right. It's like I want to, have someone that I'm with. Yeah. I would wish for a partner. So on to the next one. What is your opinion on sexual education?
I think they should teach it in school. I have no problem with it.
Yeah, you don't think it's grotesque for grade 5 kids to learn?
No.
Because it's like, for me, I like started going through puberty, I'm pretty sure, by, I think, grade 7, something like that.
Yeah, no.
So it's like,
should.
Yeah, it's...
I don't know.
Because parents, I think, are just creeped out by the idea of kids knowing about
it. Emotional aspect out of it too. Like, so when you're learning it in a classroom,
gotta make it scientific.
For your kids, you're going to hopefully get it at home and at school. So kids are going to...
It's not like repressed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And especially because that saves so much as far as like...
You don't want kids...
It's not like all of a sudden they become grotesque creatures that are like saying terrible slangs and doing stuff to each other. It's like everybody still acts the same way.
Yeah.
They're just, if anything, being safer.
Now they're just armed with information to make good choices. That's what I'm
saying. And if anything, having that information might stop them from being rash at a party or whatever, right? Yeah.
So the more information you have about something, the better equipped you are to make better choices about them. So I'll lump it into that category.
Yeah, not bad. So next one, what is your opinion on the paranormal?
Do
ghosts exist? Are they among us?
I don't know. I want to be open to it because it's kind of interesting.
Yeah,
I like to think about it and, spirits and all that stuff. So I want to be open to it.
Yeah. You've never had an experience yourself?
Not with a ghost. No, I've had spiritual experiences, but not with a ghost. No.
And what would... Because I as far as spiritual experiences goes, like I've... there was one person I talked to, and she explained it to me, not on this podcast or anything, it was like years ago, but the way she explained it to me was like, it was like a dream, but while she was awake, like she like met Jesus. It was like this extreme scenario.
Yeah.
And no, for me, I was like, oh, that sounds like it was a dream or something.
It was definitely a dream, but
yeah.
I felt like it maybe was a purposeful
dream. It was external. It wasn't just anything.
Yeah, like it was, yeah, it just came, yeah, so.
It was profound.
Could have been a ghost, but who knows? Yeah. No, I'm going to say I want to believe in the paranormal, just because I like to think that life goes on. I don't want to think of anybody being trapped here, but you know what? We don't know everything. You gotta, you know.
Yeah. And plus, I had a blog post, so like the same place that this will be going on jovan.com. I made a blog post about the possibility of living forever and stuff like that. And so I went through all the possibilities of that. It was just like me just writing down thoughts basically. But it was like, you know, one of them is like just being alive, living forever kind of thing, like a vampire or whatever, except without the vampire aspect. And then another one was dying and then being a spirit living forever.
Ugh, that'd be awful.
But that's exactly what ghosts are. But it's like, you would live forever because the only thing that stops life is the physical body. So it's like, if you're a spirit and you live forever, I was thinking either it is awful and it's like purgatory, like being in jail where you can't leave or whatever, and there's no such thing as non-existence. But it could be a thing where it's like time doesn't really work the same. So months and years and centuries could happen in a matter of, you know, like you go to sleep and wake up and it's 100 years later.
Or just acts differently. Your reasons for living, right? It's like your family, your friends.
Experiences.
I wouldn't want to live forever.
Where your experiences are nothing.
Yeah.
Because that part would suck. But if you're like in heaven and they got golf courses there and like there's still drama and stuff, then you can live forever. I mean, you know, like some, I don't know. Yeah. But so there's pros and cons to the whole aspect of it. But yeah. Yeah, because I'm in the same field. I've never had a paranormal experience, but I tried when I was a teenager. I put myself in auspicious situations, Ouija boards, and like going to places that are known for being haunted.
Yeah, nothing happened.
But nothing happened. Yeah, I'm very disappointed. I spooked myself a lot, but all of it was inconsequential. It was like there was nothing. So I came out of it empty-handed. But and then
I really want to have one. Although I watched
for the bad aspect of it, the scary one, like it's a demon.
Oh my god, she's spot on.
You think it's real?
I watched one episode of her.
Yeah, it's the same as UFOs. It's like you can want to believe.
I want to believe.
Because it seems awesome. Yeah. Because, I watched one episode from her where she was, she went to a hypnotist, and the hypnotist put her under so that she could talk to her past lives.
Oh, no.
And that seems so goofy, but maybe that was just the one episode, right?
Yeah.
But I was like, she used to be a pirate in her past life.
Oh, yeah. You're
her lives were so amazing.
Yeah.
You weren't just some dirt farmer.
So
it's like you were this notorious pirate. Yeah.
You have to laugh at. Nobody had just a boring past life.
It's got to be ego related.
Yeah.
Whatever, yeah. Jack the Ripper.
Right.
Yeah. I think that was one of her ones, too. She was a pirate and she was Jack the Ripper. She had all these crazy pasts. Yeah. Now she's a medium. But anyway, so that's that one paranormal. So next, what is your opinion on class? Economic class.
Oh, Ugh, no, I don't like it.
You don't
it's
like
awful.
It.
Yeah.
But what are the alternatives is one thing I always think about. Because I'm not going to be a communist. I don't want communism. Communism's terrible. It leads to, like, mass genocide.
Yeah.
It clearly does not work. But capitalism clearly has flaws, too.
Yeah.
Because the 1% keeps getting richer. And we're noticing it in Canada. I can't buy a house.
Yeah.
And I won't be able to unless I decide to. Yeah, I'd have to go live in the boonies.
Well, the boonies aren't so bad.
Like, I know.
If you
could
buy a house on the East Coast, if you buy a lovely house on the East Coast, it just would be a different place in Canada.
The metropolis aspect is gone.
Yeah,
for
sure. So if that's something you have to be around, then you would lose that. But you.
Then you have to be poor living in
the apartment. So, it's inevitable, I guess. It's just one of those things. You just hope that with the class system comes compassion and integrity and all those other things. So people
that are
philanthropists and give back and all that. So I guess you just have to hope that people that have will give and people that don't have will, you know, still be able to get along and have some kind of a life.
But it's a difficult system, that's for sure. All right, on to the next one. what is your opinion on feminism?
Oh, yes, I'm a feminist.
You're a feminist.
Yes. Very nice.
I've gotten a lot of, I believe in equality, but I'm not a feminist. Oh. So the first one to say, oh, yeah, I'm a feminist was my last guest, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it depends what feminist means to you. Like, I'm not a radical,
you're not
crazy,
a third wave. Because I think there's waves. There's first, second, and third wave feminism. Third wave's the crazy one.
I believe women and men are absolutely 100% equal in every way. So we need to be treated in society that way. And
from the social aspect, I completely agree. Mm-hmm. It's only once you get into the nitty gritty, because obviously no one wants to talk about it, but there are differences. Like, women are more intelligent in certain aspects than men, and then men are more risk takers. Mm-hmm. So it's like having different hormones in your body.
Physicality too. Like, I mean,
because the hormones in our brains are different.
Right. There are things that
are different
men
with
can
us.
Do that women can't, things that women can do that men can't. But at the end of the day,
it's from the social aspect.
Equal, I mean equal in not,
society.
Like strength, I mean equal in
compatible.
There's not one gender that has an edge over another.
No, there's absolutely no, because that's what the old world used to be, and that's insane to think. One used to be above the other. That's like,
no, because when you have equality,
it means like equal opportunity. It's like women should have the exact same right as a man to apply for any job.
Oppression, in a class or gender or whatever. When one part has more than the other, then the other is oppressed. And with oppression,
it's a broken society. That's not
right. It's a broken model.
Like,
so in order for things to be, you know,
as prosperous as possible,
that they can be, women and men have to be equal. And I mean, I've worked for men, I've worked for women equally. They're both bring something new and good to the table. So I think it's important to have women
have
sitting at the table and men sitting at the table. And I don't just mean corporately, because, you know, I work in a place where at the senior leadership, there are more women than men. So whatever. But so I'd say if feminist means women's rights and girls' rights and the best for women, in society, then definitely I'm a feminist.
Yeah. Very good. And then me too. But I always use the term egalitarian because it's a broader term. Because it's whatever you want to identify yourself with, even though my girlfriend hates it. And she's like, why don't you call yourself feminist? Like, I hate the fact that you don't say feminist. I'm like, egalitarian just means equal in both gender and race and religion and everything.
Sounds good to me.
It's the broader term.
That's what I am
stuff.
Too then.
Yeah. So it's whatever word you choose to identify yourself with.
Yeah.
You know, it is to each their own. But yeah, for sure.
That's what I am too, like that.
Yeah. So next one, what is your opinion on drugs?
Drugs.
Because it's a very, very broad word.
Like recreational drugs?
There's
probably not. Forget it. Like, it's not my thing.
Yeah. You're not going to be blazing up in the backyard or anything.
Never was into that. So recreational drugs aren't my thing. Should they be legalized?
Yeah. Like, how do you feel about what's going on? What's going to happen in October?
Yeah.
You think it won't be too good for society?
I don't know.
Like,
it'd be good to have the tax money for the country for it.
Yeah, the government selling it.
I mean, it'll be good to take that portion
away from the black market.
You know, it could help to reduce crime, so I think that's good.
You think there's a risk of more people doing it?
If there are people doing marijuana or whatever, it'd be good to have it legislated so that it's not. Has fentanyl in it.
It's tracked.
People are dying.
Yeah, exactly. It's not laced.
Have some kind of crazy chemicals that are going to cause, you know, so if there's some legislation over the drug that way, if you're going to do it anyway, it should
be
safe. That's right. Yeah. So there's lots of pluses. Yeah. I do have a concern about,
youth, maybe.
Yeah, kids
because
getting a hold of it. And
but
I do think it's
same
different
as
than alcohol. I do think it has longer term effects. And I don't think. I don't know the statistics on it, but it probably has some level of addiction and making.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Too.
People say, hey, weed's so much better than cigarettes because it's non-addictive and yada yada. And it's like, yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, chocolate is addictive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why would you say that weed isn't addictive? Because weed gets you high, and getting high feels good. So that is addictive. Then you want to keep feeling that. And then now
a drug,
you
drug like alcohol. And so we'll have all the same problems that alcohol.
Yeah, like driving while high, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Is it going away? No. Or if you're going to hide, like if you don't legislate it, is it going away? No. So
no, it's been around since the...
I think maybe we should just legislate it and, you know...
And then
healthier product, make sure that there's no...
And inform kids on it rather than just saying, it's bad illegal drug, don't touch it.
Right, get it out there and talk about it more.
Yeah, because otherwise it gets tracked. It just gets put in the same category as cocaine or heroin or meth, and it's a completely different thing. It's like, you know, as far as the dangers of weed to the other drugs, weed you can't OD on. So that alone makes it so much safer than cocaine and all the other stuff. But yeah, it definitely does kill brain cells and do all that bad stuff. Yeah. But there were some studies going around saying it causes psychosis. And I don't think that's a fake science.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. But yeah, what are you going to do? Like it's been part of the culture for at least the last 30 years. Like it's been building up to this point, I think.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. I think some years ago it was a milder, gentler thing, and now it's...
Nowadays they pump stuff into it. They have more than just weed now. They have whatever the strong version of weed's called. What's it called? Kush. Kush is like the extreme version of weed.
Yeah.
And then you got hash, which is baked weed.
They need to get the handle on that.
Yeah. Make milder versions for people who don't want to have the extreme stuff. Because otherwise, black market, you just get whatever they give you. Yeah. But anyway, okay. So that's that one. On to the next. What is your opinion on the power of prayer?
Oh, I think it's wonderful. I think if you pray for just whatever it is, like others, yourself, goodness, whatever.
Like it does resonate.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful. I think it's a purposeful thing that can give you great peace, and in times where you have absolutely no control over what's happening, an illness, like I'm thinking sickness, illness, loss, grief, death, whatever, the power of prayer can provide you with a centering that probably nothing else can, if that is something you believe in. Yeah. So I think wonderful and powerful.
Yeah. Because, I mean, a lot of people relate the power of prayer to being the same as the power of like meditation with Buddhism or just therapy.
Yeah,
I
know. It's
because you're having a relationship.
Yeah.
It's about talking, you know.
And I mean,
talking your things out.
Yeah, there's nothing. And then when people pray together for a common thing, like to me, that's, oh my God, that's like an intention that is so strong. So I think it is powerful.
Yeah.
And I think individually, it can help.
Now we're 52 minutes in, so we're getting near the end. I still have some, but I'm going to skip all of them and go straight to, what is your opinion on veganism?
Fantastic.
Yeah. Would you consider yourself one?
I would. Yeah. Yes. No, I think it's the wave. I think we're moving toward. You know what? I honestly don't believe that it is ever going to be the choice for everybody. But I think what veganism, plant eating, why it's becoming so popular for different people for different reasons. But I think what it will do, or what I hope it will do, is we'll just take meat off the plate as part of everybody's meal every day. And people will start to think about it differently. And bring their animal consumption down, because now it's crazy, and that'll have good effects for the planet, your health, animals,
the treatment of animals, because if it becomes way less needed,
we won't
be using the same methods we're using now, which is psychotic.
If the demand's not there, then
they'll stop
that's
producing.
Right. They'll start producing other things that the demand is there for. And I think you only have to look at the dairy aisle now and then 5 years ago. So when I first became a plant eater full time, I had to make my own almond milk. There wasn't anything on the shelf, not one thing that I could substitute cow milk for.
Yeah.
And now that section. There's so many almost as big as the dairy aisle.
Yeah, and plus there's pea milk, there's oat milk, there's so many different cashew milk.
So to me, that says people are gravitating towards it.
Because I am. I mean, I love almond milk. It's delicious.
And I think, like, meat eaters, when you say, oh, you're a plant eater or vegan, they picture in your mind that you're eating a plate of grass.
Yeah, literally.
Like, they don't get what you could possibly be eating. They think you're eating a plate of grass. But what you're actually reading is everything and anything.
Aside from that.
Yeah, like, you can, like, I mean, you can just recreate things or just make different things, like, you know?
Well, because you can find protein in anything, and that's usually the only defense made. Well, you don't eat meat, how do you live? Like, aren't you pale in the face?
Yeah.
It's like, you get the exact, like, you won't even know it, but while eating meat, you're also eating, like if you have peanuts or whatever during the day, it's like, it's giving you the exact same thing, you don't even realize.
Yeah. It puts you on a healthier path for eating, I think, like, as you start to drop off your processed stuff and your high-fat stuff.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
So just naturally eating that way puts you, and you're hungry, so you eat, but you eat better quality stuff. But then also, you know, you're not contributing to the inhumanity of the whole factory farming, you know, that whole thing.
Which is worse than
not adding to. So, I think it's just a good way. But it is a choice, and I don't think everybody, it's for everybody.
Yeah,
and,
you're not going
to. Everybody has to do their own thing and do what feels good for them and what feels right and do their research. So, I mean, it works for me, but I'm not a militant person, so I'm not going out there going, you're not eating that, so that's not good. I'm not like that at all, because as you know, I cook for my whole family, so.
Of course.
But you got to do what feels good for you.
Exactly. That's great. You're definitely at, like, harmony with not just yourself and the planet, but with the people in your life. Like, you do a really good job at that. I'm honestly surprised at how well you do that. Like, it's something to look up to, right? Like,
oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, you got a good way of doing that. It's true. I mean, honestly,
family.
But you do it in a way where you're not promoting anything. It's like whatever they want, you know.
Yeah, I notice, like, even you. Well,
if you give me the option,
that's what I find. And over time, people will pick up what their little favorites and start to
have that more. And,
and so I think that's what the ultimate would be, is for people just to choose more plant eating more often.
Yeah. Because that's not even a mystery or anything to be debated. If you eat green, you feel healthier, and it is better for you. The most basic thing, and we've known that forever, but, like, people still don't do it. They'll eat potatoes and steak as their dinner and have nothing green.
Well,
so
potatoes are still my favorite
thing. Yeah. You can do so much with it. Potatoes are the ultimate vegetable. It's one of those, if you could only have one thing, you should choose potatoes kind of thing. Yeah. But, yeah, it's great. Okay, so we're in the last 2.5 minutes.
Okay.
Do you have any sort of plugs or recommendations that you give to the audience off the top of your head of any subject, any books, movies, restaurants in the GTA, anything like that?
Okay, my plug would be to take a vacation and go to the East Coast.
Go to the, nice. That's great,
the
East
Coast, go to
just
the
advertising.
Beaches, go to the national parks, go to... Just take a drive through those provinces down there.
Because I haven't, and I feel like you should.
And be astounded and gobsmacked, and you'll just really connect back to it. If you've never been down there, you'll be so surprised there's a part of Canada like that.
Yeah.
And you'll connect with that whole relaxed way of life. Bad things still happen down there, like in Fredericton. But it is a different world down there. So if I had to make a recommendation, I would say for people to take a trip to the East Coast with an open mind.
A lot of people say, like, the people not from Canada, like usually America, are always like, is Canada even real? Because they hear stories on the news of, like, Canadians doing outrageously polite things. And it's like, and the accent of Canada that people stereotype.
Yeah.
It's from the East Coast. That's where it comes from.
Yeah.
That's where the stereotype of Canada being such a great place comes from. So.
Oh, and just when we were traveling this time.
We got enough time.
I just noticed how French New Brunswick is. So again, that goes back to me learning how to speak French. There.
Very nice.
Okay.
That's great.
There.
Okay. So now in our final seconds, what would be one piece of advice that you give to the audience? Live, laugh, love, that sort of thing.
Just be kind.
Yeah,
I'd say just be kind. Be kind to yourself. Be be kind to others, be kind to animals, probably make your way through life really pretty darn good if you just be kind to people, including yourself.
Yeah, regardless of what situation you're in.
Yeah, just try to be kind.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Well, hey, thanks for coming on and talking with
me. Thanks, Joe, Van.
All right. Thank you very much. And for everybody at home, I hope you guys are doing great. Normally, I don't give myself enough time to actually say goodbye. I think the only other time I did that was in the first episode. But
Bye.